Hi there, Kickstart Commerce community. This is Alvin, and in today's interview, I'm actually interviewing George T. Bundy, the CEO of BRS Media. And so for some of you, it may sound familiar, and it may not, but for those of you that don't quite recall who BRS Media is, they are the parent company of the .fm and .am registries. And so, George, thank you for taking this interview. And like I said, I know it's Friday afternoon, and so we're about ready to end the day and start into the weekend. And so I definitely appreciate you for taking the time to join us.
No, Alvin, thanks for having me. It's a great opportunity so we can sit down and talk out a few things. And so I'm looking forward to the time we spent to chat.
Definitely. And so I guess right off the bat, obviously, so we met at NamesCon 2018, and we had actually touched base prior to that on Twitter and had a few exchanges. And then we were both attending the guest, the reception for NamesCon. And through a mutual, acquaintance of John Roy, the guy behind iHeart.ws, the emoji domain search engine there that is sponsored or supported by GoDaddy. We bumped into one another, and so it was actually good to, see you face to face. And so in terms of our listeners, tell, if you don't mind explaining just kind of who you are, as a person, as well as who you are professionally.
Yeah, I think that's a long history we're trying to condense, but my background is actually in radio, and I guess this is almost going back 20, 30 years in the business before the internet came along, if you will, in the mid-80s and the like, and moved out to the Bay Area from the Midwest. Early 90s, right before the cusp of the internet became, interesting and get a computer, dial up, and something like that. And I thought the opportunities were really an excellent point for radio, my background, take advantage of how stations could remarket themselves and take advantage of the internet as part of a marketing opportunity. And we started a website that basically lists all the stations that were putting up websites, doing some audio, no streaming at the time. We were all on a dial-up connection. But, I saw the opportunities in the future. And around 97, 98, started looking at opportunities in domains, contacted by an IT director from the Federated States of Micronesia, who just turned on their country code and had very limited usage for it, thought that there'd be an opportunity to rebrand this, market this, and I had the connections to the radio stations. They had the extension. Put this on a piece of paper. This is literally have lunch at a coffee shop, write it down on a napkin, and put it out there. It's amazing how those things you think are just, stories, that's how it happened. And we'll see what it goes from there. We'll try this out. Does it work? Does it not work? 20 years later, here we are.
Wow. So in terms of, now, did you plan on getting into radio, or how did you stumble up on radio?
Well, radio has always been an interest for me back in college and even in high school as, I was on the air, program director, operations manager. I went through the whole rankings in the radio business in the 80s. Things have shifted quite a bit. Domestically, this was still a mom-and-pop operation. Most stations were owned by individual parties. Stations couldn't be owned in the country, the company couldn't own more than a handful of radio stations. Now, obviously, come the mid-90s and deregulation and something like that, that industry has changed dramatically since that point in time. But, my background had always been in radio, but I had the opportunity to move west, and it was about the time the internet was coming along and being interesting. And actually, ironically, not moving to San Francisco to be in the middle of Silicon Valley, but just happened to stumble upon it. And therefore, the opportunities presented themselves. And then the opportunities for the domains came along, which, again, my background wasn't necessarily in tech, wasn't necessarily in domains, but more about radio marketing opportunities and the ability to, you know, expand stations' brands. That's what I did in radio. So why not take that opportunity to do that? And to some degree, there was no playbook on that at the end of the day. I mean, everyone, you got a .com, or at that point in time, they were still getting websites under whatever hosting provider they had and just piggybacking off their domain name. Wasn't easy to get a domain name still in the mid-90s with regards to that. And so that too played into, we worked with a provider that had an opportunity to purchase a domain name on a website. Now, I remember, and most of probably do, how you had to fill out a form and fax it back to the hosting provider in order to get what inevitably was Network Solutions to buy your .com. It's cumbersome. So, I mean, when we launched, we had the ability to search for a domain name on our website, open an account, buy the domain name, and do it that way. What we failed to realize to some degree was most people in the mid-early 90s, you know, 20 years ago, didn't really want to put their credit card online, completely didn't want to buy anything online.
Right.
It was really a challenge. I mean, there's a number of opportunities we could talk about that were really challenges. We couldn't get a merchant account. No bank would give us the opportunity to take credit cards online. No customer wanted to put their credit card online. These things were just amazing. And it's just amazing 20 years later. I mean, if you look at somebody like Amazon, you know, how things have changed to that regards. But, you know, it progressed, but that was kind of an interesting early start. We wanted to make it as easy as possible for somebody to get online and build their brand. Like I said, didn't know whether this was going to take off or not, but, you know, assuming looking back on it now and 20 years into this, I think we did just fine.
Right. Obviously, you know, you had that background of radio, and then obviously this I guess you'd say serendipitous moment falls into your lap,
right?
In terms of the .fm, and so was it .fm first, then .am came along, or did you have both of them at the same time?
You know, it was really the FM was first and foremost, and to some degree it still is our front runner with regards to that, but we wanted to cover all our bases. So we began a communications with Armenia, and they structure it a little bit different. It's interesting nonetheless also too that, you know, there are many country codes out there that are rebranded usages, WS, .me, .co, but at the time there really wasn't.
Right.
TO had been in the market for a while, and the guys in Micronesia actually looked at that as an example to figure out what to do with the FM, but there really wasn't a playbook on how to do this or how to succeed or what to do. I mean, we were really flying off the seat of our pants as to whether this was going to be a success or a complete failure with regards to this. And so it was early on where it took a little bit of convincing to do that in Armenia. Two different countries with two different philosophies. And it's interesting, you know, again, we had about 255 country codes, everything from DE and UK to ME, and every extension, the government and the process has a completely different way of looking at it. And it's the same for us between AM and FM. I mean, there's a whole different philosophy. But at the same time, there's enough synergy there to both move forward and succeed.
Wow.
And that's what we saw in 89 and 90, and that's what we continue to see today, 20 years later.
And so in terms of early, you know, adoption, I mean, what were the struggles in terms of getting people to, or rather your target audience to become, you know, the early adopters of the .fm extension?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, the idea is a perfect question with regards to this, because it's to some degree, the struggle we see now with many of these newer extensions we saw 20 years ago. They didn't understand it. Universal acceptance, it's not real. Our first major presence was a broadcast conference. We had a booth, we had a computer, you could search for a domain name, you could provide us a credit card, we'd buy the domain name, sat there for a week, and no one purchased any because they did not feel it was a legitimate product. It was a real extension. It didn't work, and we had examples, but there was no way we were convincing these guys that this was something. So the problem and difficult challenges, and again, what we're seeing today, is if you've got to convince your consumer about what the product is, and then you've got to convince them the benefit of it, and then you've got to convince them that there's too many barriers to entry. There's too many barriers to entry. And that was a huge challenge early on. But luckily, I guess at the end of the day, we did overcome. But I think the struggle you see today is that the time for adoption for those universal acceptance is dramatically longer than anyone ever anticipates.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And it's definitely a challenge to overcome. And so that was our biggest challenge with regards to, I mean, literally within weeks of launching, to have to go back to the drawing board and say, hey, you know what? Wow, maybe this isn't going to work out.
And so tell me, when did, now obviously you had the challenges there in the beginning, but do you recall that turning, you know, that defining moment, that turning of the corner that you go, this is going to work out?
I can't really tell you when there was a pivot point. It was a gradual, and again, this is what we're seeing today with many of these guys. I think there isn't going to be a point where you say, okay, this is going to be a success now.
I mean,
there has been. I mean, I suppose it could be, you know, like I said, a couple of years later. I mean, many of our early adopters, like Last.fm, which, you know, your listeners may know still today, registered the domain name in 2000. So it was a couple of years we started to see a turn where these people were beginning to use the domain name, buy the domain name, and use it with regards to it. But there wasn't an individual point where, okay, we're okay, now this is going to work.
Gotcha. And so that's actually good to know, because it's not, like you said, you're looking for the stake in the ground to go, okay, if we can just make it to there, then we know everything is going to be okay. And so obviously being around, you know, this 20 going on 30 years, then, you know, one of the interesting things is how, and you almost, you know, went into it a bit here, of how are your customers using the .fm? Extension.
Well, again, and that is true. I mean, notice that's an interesting point in one of your questions here that really caught my attention, because it's something we do talk about. What we see, or what we foresaw in 20 years ago with regards to the AM and FM registrations and who would use them and where they would go, dramatically changed over a 20-year period of time. Dramatically changed with regards to that. And I don't know necessarily the week after we put the announcement of the Moji domain names, we also put out an announcement regarding our top 100 trafficked FM websites. And what that basically does is every year we post this, and it gives us an indication of who's using the domain in the space, who's succeeding with that in the space. And it's changed dramatically over the years. Originally, it was AM and FM radio stations. Not so much anymore. Podcast, music entertainment sites. On the AM side, it's hacks like will.i.am. On the FM side, southwest.fm, which put together a whole music video website for artists who sing on planes in flight. And so that's completely different than what we saw in 1998-97, where we said, okay, we're going to sell these to AM and FM radio stations. That's going to be our market. It's still
there.
Still have that.
Yeah, so you've gotten involved really, I guess, more of the I guess you'd say, new multimedia. So away from the, not that you're moving away from traditional, but it's more like you're being drawn into the podcasters and
That's the growth in the market. And those are the users that we're seeing adopting the FM, and we're absolutely embracing wherever the market takes it. And it's different than it took it 20 years ago.
Right. So would you say that's because of a younger audience who, and it's been said, you know, in terms of even the new GTLDs, that this younger audience, this younger market, they don't necessarily care about a dot, whatever, fill in the blank, you know, whether it's XYZ, whether it's FM, whether it's .com, that's really of no importance to them, as long as they can actually get their message out on a platform.
Well, I think, you know, there's obviously that those in that space are more the early adopters, are willing to embrace, you know, different technologies, different options. We see that. At the end of the day, as an example, and you can go back to this, I mean, we looked at traditional radio stations in the mid-90s. That's who was going to be the focus audience. But we didn't shy away from whoever wanted to use it to do what they want. These three kids from London decided they wanted to put together this website to track listener music online and call it last.fm. And they struggled for years with regards to what was going on, what was doing. And it was not a traditional client. It's not a radio station with regards to this. And, you know, 10 years ago, they sold the company to CBS for, you know, $275 million.
Wow.
So, but early on, they, you know, lacked direction, didn't understand, you know, but they were ahead of the curve. Early adoption like that really comes to play. And it's even today, even in, like I said, our top 100 list, they still made the top 5 trafficked FM websites with regards to what we see is this. And we're talking 18 years out. You know,
wow.
So those early adopters could really help catapult your extension, if you will, or your product for years to come. And we've seen that in the past.
That is interesting. And that's interesting. And I think it's even more so interesting because you have the years of experience, the decades rather, in terms of being around to see how domains are transfiguring the future, which is one of the things, you know, one of the questions is, you know, so how have you seen domains just in general, not so much, I guess, .fm, but how, in a general sense, have you seen the domain industry change? Obviously, you've been attending, you know, different conferences. You've been a part of the industry, you know, from a registry standpoint. And so how has it changed? And then what might the future look like based on what you've seen or based on your experience?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that, yeah, I mean, I was, you know, originally, we launched the FM prior to the existence of ICANN. Okay, ICANN did not actually become an organization that managed the domain space till like 6-8 months after we had already launched the FM with regards to it, and was at a number of the early ICANN meetings with regards to that, and still today go to like NamesCon and other ICANN meetings with regards. It's dramatically changed, obviously, and that does not preclude the more recent, you know, flood of extensions with regards. There has been an adoption and change over the past, you know, 18, 20 years with regards to usage, where it comes, and, you know, what's being used with this. And that will continue to change in the future. I think that what we look at in the future with regards to voice activation, app-based products, and we're seeing this in the FM space with this, is to some degree maybe a migration slightly away from domain names. Not that domain names are going to go completely away, but I see in the next generation less browser-based internet. We're going to speak to the car. We're going to speak to the app. We're going to speak to, you know, Alexa, and something will come back to us. You don't type that into a browser. Do you need a domain name for that? These are questions that we're asking ourselves now because we're in the business of selling domain names. If this is the way the internet is going, we need to be able to understand that and adapt accordingly. But, you know, there's a possibility that, you know, there's a flood of domain names out there. They're still selling .coms like crazy.
Right.
But our apps and voice recognition like Siri and Alexa and you know, talk to your Tesla and it'll tell you where to go. Is there a need to type in that in a browser? Instant messaging, replacing emails. You don't need a domain name for an email address. Are those things that potentially may change the dynamic scope of domain names in the future? And you have to hit that head on. And that's something that we're now looking at to address to figure out where we fit in to potentially a change in where the internet goes from here and how it may not be as much browser-based.
Right. And so, you know, you definitely mentioned some of the things that we're heading into in terms of or are facing right now as well as the future. But then, you know, looking back, one of the questions that just emerged as you were sharing was, you know, have the new GTLD, so have the new domain extensions actually impacted, you know, your .fm and .am registries? And if so, how?
Yeah, I don't think that we've seen a dramatic change. I think more than anything that you see that, yeah, okay, the shelf space has changed at the retail environment with regards to that. That's been more of a challenge than usage in the market and other things like that. The fact of the matter is that when you take an industry, and whether that's the grocery store or the convenience store, and you have 20 items on that shelf, and then somehow along the line you have 700 items on that shelf, you know, no matter what the situation is, yeah, maybe .com isn't affected. It may not be. The thing is, I don't think that, you know, outside of that, our usage hasn't changed because our clients are still interested in getting a domain name with that extension in it. Yeah, there's other competitors, and we see usage in other new TLDs that probably could have came to us over them with regards to that. But that would have happened anyways because, hey, they can get a .com and .org, start up a podcast or internet. Many of them do. So I don't think that there's been a major effect with regards to adding all these extensions in that have affected our business.
Right. And then so shifting gears, so obviously you had mentioned earlier, I think in the podcast here, that you all have been exploring the offering of, I guess, the expression of interest, let me get it right, for emoji domains. And so, you know, one of the first things when I saw that, I was like, why now? You know, why would a .fm, you know, want to, I guess, throw their hat in the proverbial ring of the emoji domain madness,
well,
if you will.
The question is that why not now? I mean, the question is that do we want to wait? Do we not want to wait? I think the thing is that, you know, our decision to move forward or not move forward with this project is based on a number of things in the past. I mean, we have looked at emoji domain names for a number of years. And in fact, our launch of emoji domain names or our domain extension we've put out there in the press release, radio, the radio emoji.fm, we actually had in the root zone file for close to 2 years.
Really?
Okay. So, yeah. So the thing is that no one knew this. This was all just internal. We just, you know, we wanted to see what the opportunities and look like. We didn't have it out in the public, but that URL that was in the press release 2 weeks ago and the one we're promoting now isn't new. Okay, it was in the root zone file. It was active, but it wasn't necessarily. So we had looked at figuring out how to do these, watching what others do in this space for more than a couple of years. So this isn't something that we thought of in the past 6 months and said, hey, you know, this thing has taken off now. There's interest in it. Let's do this. Let's jump into the room. We had been looking at this for a while.
Right.
There's always the opportunity with we want to be ahead of the curve. We don't want to be in the top of the run, but we don't want to be last in line.
Gotcha. And so that's kind of where then, you know, kind of knowing your backstory now that you had spent some time, you know, thinking about it, strategizing, and then I guess the opportunity just presented itself as the perfect time, I guess, to make such an announcement.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we also look at just general usage. And I'm not necessarily even talking about the domain space. I'm talking about the emoji section, uses of emojis in social media, in email subject lines. I mean, I just go through my emails today, and it's just like, you know, all these different emails have these emojis in the subject line, text on social media, you know, text on your phone, my mother knowing what emojis are and starting to use them now. How many times do they have to hit you over the head before you say, hey, you know what? This thing is for real. There's usage and opportunities. And if they're going to use it for text and social media, why not domain names?
Right. Right. And that's I guess that's an interesting thing. Cause like you said, I mean, I think it's things for Forbes quoted it as we send something like 6 billion emoji, in messages per day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is just I mean, it's one of those numbers that you go, I can't even really fathom that we send that many.
No, right. And even, you know, what you see in some of the reports and the attention being drawn, just and in the past, we've not seen this. I mean, this week, new emojis were announced, right? I mean, I saw your tweet. We all talked about it. We saw this thing, but it got general news print.
Right.
Not right. Just us within the industry. It's just the general news. A congressman from Maine feels he pushed the consortium to get a lobster emoji. I mean, so here we're talking about, you know, general interest and adoption. Now's the opportunity to feel that, you know, there's going to be usage in this space, and we feel the opportunities for our clients to get a domain name with an emoji. Now's the time.
Right. And then I guess that's the, you know, there lies now is the time, but then also the question that comes that I frequently field when, you know, whether it's, you know, via Twitter or email or just in conversation with people is, are businesses truly ready to use emoji as their primary digital presence, or is it more so supplemental, you know, to the overall marketing?
Well, I think that what you've seen in the usages you've seen in the past and what we've seen in our usages in our space and going forward is that it doesn't have to be one or the other, okay? It doesn't have right. to be one or the other. The right. fact of the matter is, and a perfect example of this and what we see, Southwest Airlines is the largest low-cost carrier in the world. And you're still going to go to southwest.com to buy your airline ticket, okay? But that doesn't take away from a project that they want to develop to promote artists who sing on their planes at southwest.fm. They could be simultaneously together and both succeed. So I guess the answer to the question that comes up like that is, why does it have to be an either-or situation? It can be both. And both can succeed. So the fact of the matter is, if somebody wants to develop a particular project to do some emoji, iHeartTacos.fm, and do a podcast on tacos, and that happens to be a company that sells tacos that has a .com, hey, perfect. There's no reason why both of those can't be successful and stand alone on their own, but be from the same organization. So it doesn't have to be either or. We've seen successes in that in the past from multiple cases.
No, that's good. That's good. And so in terms of, and like I said, I know that the most recent press release from BRS Media in terms of the .fm offering of emoji domains. So, you know, in terms of, I guess, this expression of interest, so is it more that this expression of interest is more like a sunrise period or something like that?
Yeah, it's a very quick sunrise. Yeah, I know that you mentioned this in your questioning, and I just, you know, want to be, I think the thing is that in the press release, we weren't able to really touch on it with regards to it. We are launching these across all the FM soon, okay? Those small one-page single emojis are just to field interest from somebody who wants the single character emoji. Okay. We're still in the process of finalizing the technology and the tables of emojis that will be put within the registry for anyone to purchase. You know, again, three hearts, three strawberries, character I heart tacos, and all those combinations will be available. So that page that just has the small expression of interest or just a very small single emojis that we have been fielding some responses since we put our press release out. Some of those domain names may be available in the general public if they're not taken on an expression of interest beforehand. Some of them will be premiums we hold back and will field before. But again, not in the press release, and we really haven't announced a date of release. But I think we had talked about this at NamesCon, that it's going to be sooner than later. And we're talking most likely within the next, you know, 60 days or so that right. We will open it up and everything will be available. So this expression of interest was just to get some response back from those that might be interested in single character emoji domain names and what their interest level might be. And we have been fielding responses from that already. But that doesn't take away from the fact that somebody will be able to get any type of emojis when we launch. And we will make that announcement, like I said, rather soon. And when we make the announcement, most likely it will be available right then and there.
Gotcha. And then, you know, it makes me kind of think and go, will the .fm, you know, will the customers have preference? So your existing base, you know, because you likely, I would imagine, because you have thousands of customers that, you know, I think, you know, it makes me think of something like Rainmaker.
Yeah, I mean, well, we want to balance that out between, you know, not playing preferential treatment with regards to one or the other, because again, the opportunities are there for everyone to get this.
Correct. Which is why you have the expression of interest to begin with, right?
Right. I mean, so the thing is that we, you know, if you're interested in one of these, and again, we've really only taken one ourselves, and that's the one we're going to use, because again, we do. And have always done, as my friends quote unquote, eating our own dog food. So again, we have an FM emoji domain name, and we will promote that, know how to use it, and see the success of it. But other than that, we're really not holding much back. And so when we go live, everything will be available for the most part.
And I think you hit on something there that if there's anything that I've said from the very beginning in terms of emoji domains, it's about usage. Showing people, educating people how to use them. You know, it's one thing to have them, but it's another thing to, like you said, eat your own dog food and actually begin to promote and show people this is how you can actually use them to promote your business or to reach your target market.
Right. And again, if we're talking about what we're thinking that, you know, again, even traditional companies might be able to put a project together where they launch a particular emoji domain, and you see that. What was the most successful emoji campaign within the WS space?
Yeah, I think it was the Coca-Cola, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so again, the thing is that here you have one of the largest companies in the world as far as brand and marketing using a particular project as an emoji domain name. We see that happen. In fact, Coca-Cola is a big customer of ours with has the largest internet radio station in Latin America, Coca-Cola.fm. And wow. So that's a perfect example with regards to a traditional company who's taking a non-traditional domain or emoji domain name and succeeding with it. That's the recipe for success, and that's what we want to see to move forward. Getting these guys some great ideas, and then letting them buy the domain name, take off with it, and succeed, and do what they want with it. It's a great success story.
Wow. And then, and not only with the, I guess, the existing domains, but then you stand to also benefit, which you mentioned, you know, moments ago, the next generation release of emoji domains.
Yeah. And again, we kind of touched on this with regards, because it, I think the biggest struggle that we had to overcome before we made the announcement is with regards to the security, stability, you know, questions with regards to this. I think we made reference in the press release, and we literally hand-picked every emoji that's going to be available within the space. There's still quite a few of them. I think there's close to over 1,125 different emojis that will be within the FM space available for purchase in different combinations with regards to it. But they don't include all of them. And the newer ones, we will reevaluate as time goes on, and those get out into the market as far as usage goes. So the thing is that we do look at anticipating adding to the list of emojis once those set become more standardized in the marketplace. But for right now, yeah, we were a little bit conservative with regards to what's out there. And you will be able to see, because we will publish the table once it's in the root zone file and we begin the process of allowing registrations in the space. But it's not all of them. And so many of them that were in question or might be confusingly similar or something like that, that we shied away from. There's still plenty of opportunities out there.
No, that's actually good to know, because that was one of the next questions of, well, what do you make of the similar emoji domains? But you answered that in terms of saying, you know, you are removing those off the table, if you will, or placing them aside so that, that lessens confusion. Yeah,
we did take in considerations both the concerns of, you know, what's out there in the industry with regards to emoji domain names, and looked at all those things and tried to feel the balance between going forward and offering the emojis as a domain, and taking in consideration some of the concerns about confusing similarities and potential phishings and other things like that. And we think that we've gotten a great balance that provides anyone an opportunity to get a great emoji domain name without being, you know, in a position where we have to worry about similarities and confusion somewhere. But it's because you're in early and there's not really a standardization. This conversation continues with regards to the platforms, the apps and other things like that, or even the social media of what an emoji looks like. So I think the thing is that, you know, we hope to push the conversation as well to make some of these things more standard, while at the same time promoting the emoji domain names and hopefully having some success from some of our clients.
No, that's good to hear. And, you know, it's interesting that in terms of the consideration that you take, obviously you mentioned phishing. And so, you know, for those who have followed the emoji domains for quite some time, obviously we know ICANN stands in terms of their security. And so Right. It's one of those things of, I guess, just really asking, you know, does that impact what you do and or not do? And if so, how?
Well, I think the thing is that, like I said, early on, we can go back to the fact that we don't have to play. You know, the hardcore is that we don't have to play by any ICANN rules. Okay. We can go back and even say, you know what, we were in the market long before the existence of ICANN. We've done fine just then. But at the end of the day, ICANN has been in existence almost as long as we have. And for the most part, we have to play in their sandbox. They created the registrar type of platform, how you buy domain names as consumers, where you go, who you deal with. The majority of the retail customers or, you know, clients that sell our FM names are ICANN accredited retail registrars. So again, they have to play by the ICANN rules to some degree. And although they have more flexibility with country codes with regards to it, they have to play within that. But at the same time, we feel that sometimes and all too often, they overproject the concerns. And as a result, it's not helpful for the consumers. There needs to be a balancing act. So we're not going to go hog wild. We're not going to throw away the security and the stability emoji, you know, report that ICANN did and say, oh, this is just a bunch. We've looked at it. We evaluated it. And we've made recommendations, and we're going to put these in here and move forward with it. And that hopefully will help the conversation move forward and show that, okay, there can be usage in this space without these drawbacks, and how can they be overcome so that they apply to all extensions.
Right. And I was about to say, and even for what it's worth, some of the, I guess you'd say, points of debate are still, I mean, they're applicable to the legacy TLDs. And so it's not that they're just applicable to emoji domain and emoji domain extensions, rather, or the country, the CCTLDs. It's that it's been this way from beginning.
Right. Again, they take, you know, they've always taken a conservative approach based on the fact that, you know, again, at the top of the hill, you know, we've got .com, 140 million domain names. You can't really rock the boat with regards to anything in that space. And I get that position, absolutely, with regards to that. We have a little bit more flexibility. Obviously, we don't have as many domain names. We have a very specific audience with regards to this. And so as a result, we're in a different position. But what I think that we can bring to the table is opportunities to show that there's a market out there for this. And there's a potential for the customers to embrace the emoji domain names, use them properly, and succeed. And then that will continue the conversation instead of having this report just collect dust and not be addressed for 10, 20 years.
No, that totally makes sense. Totally makes sense. And so, you know, obviously in terms of, we're going to transition, you know, a bit away from that. And so I actually look forward just to hearing more about the .fm registry, the release of the emoji domain. So definitely we'll look forward to that. As we come towards an end, though, one of the things that I, you know, just kind of peered into, interested into hearing about in regards to you attending NamesCon. And so obviously as a professional, you have, you know, many different reasons to attend NamesCon, but I guess in terms of our listening audience, like what, I guess if you could give from a personal perspective as well as a business or registry perspective, why should someone attend NamesCon?
Well, I think the thing is that, you know, unlike, and again, like I said, early on attending ICANN meetings with regards to policy and procedures, although a lot of networking is done there, I think that what NamesCon brings to the table is the ability of the industry to get together and just, you know, even if it's just knock ideas around. I mean, I could probably come back, and again, this was my fifth. Got a little badge to prove it with regards to it. And on the other side of sales, I've already signed up for next year. So that kind of gives you an indication of my commitment level to this particular event. But yeah, I mean, it's a good opportunity to interact with the, you know, clients you have, registrars you have, even domain holders. I've met many of domain holders that I didn't even know that were in the FM space. And that's a great way to, again, just like you and I, meeting in person and seeing each other and just talking amongst ourselves about anything and everything in the industry. There's something to be said about that. And it's interesting nonetheless, because this conversation always comes back about how the internet doesn't necessarily require us to now meet in person. But there's almost more of a need to do so because of that.
Right.
And these venues provide for that opportunity, and I think they will continue to do so. Even as the industry adopts and makes changes with regards to that, that's, you know, an important, stable, consistent opportunity to reach. I mean, it broad-based within an industry that's still very small overall. I mean, you know, again, just a handful of us 20 years ago, and it's grown to some degree because of the growth of the new TLDs and something like that. But at the end of the day, still a very small, you know, group of individuals in any aspect of it, whether it's domainers, registries, registrars, resellers, and things like that. So I think it's a good opportunity to get together.
So then what was one thing that you walked away with out of NamesCon this year that you're like, man, so glad that I went because of this one thing?
Well, obviously that we had, you know, it wasn't by accident that we announced the emoji press release and that we did so at that particular time a week before the NamesCon event, which got us an opportunity to really engage with not just even domain holders, but retail registrars Because the concern or the idea for us is to get these guys to sell the names. Because I think that's one of the questions you asked on the thing is that where the consumers will be able to purchase them. And, you know, again, we're reevaluating that. One of the reasons why we made the announcement when we did and then went to NamesCon a week later is to engage with many of the retail registrars and vendors that were at the show, which were already selling the FM domain names, and getting them on board with the emojis. And that was a great takeaway with regards to that. And so, again, it always comes back to opportunities we have in engaging. And this year was different than last year. That was different than the year before. And most likely will be completely different in 2019, which, like I said, I already got the ticket for. So.
No, that's good. That's good. That's amazing. And so, you know, it provides that touch point of a person-to-person relationship that otherwise, you know, you either spend your time, I guess some of us talking by phone, some of us talking via Twitter or social media or email, what have you, whatever your preference is. But it really is something to say, you know, like, for instance, us, you know, when you said the name, I automatically flipped to our Twitter conversation, and I knew it was right. Much more like we continue the conversation, but we're able to go a bit deeper than what we could have there on the Twitter platform.
Yeah, it is amazing with regards to whether it's NameCon or any type of conference. You know, you got the impression early on in the internet that the way we communicate online is going to take away from these events. And I think to some degree, the opposite has happened, and for good results and for good reasons with regards to that. But the thing is, yeah, we just are able to now continue the conversation we've already had online. But that's an important aspect of an ongoing either business relationship or communication that way, is to actually take the conversation we do online and hold it in person.
Definitely. And with that, you know, I definitely thank you for your time and you know, definitely being willing to come on and actually continue our conversation. Because I think the last time we had a chat, we were chatting in a ballroom with loud music, good fun, good networking going on. But this brought it closer in terms of more of a, I guess you'd say, intimate relationship or personal relationship, business relationship there in terms of being able to, you know, kind of discuss some of the nuances that we had mentioned just in brief passing. And so, George, I definitely appreciate it and wish, you know, BRS Media as well as the .fm, .am registries much success. And I look forward, like I said, to hearing whether it's emoji domains or whatever is to come next. Look forward to hearing and seeing how things pan out for you all.
Oh, thanks for the opportunity and great conversation, Alvin.
Definitely. And so with that, you know, not only keep your eyes and ears open for more to come from the .fm registry, .am registry, but also you heard from an attendee himself who has been there since the beginning, 5-year attendee. Get a NamesCon ticket, you know, if and not only NamesCon, but I go make an effort to get to the conferences. Because it's conversations like these that come forth that give you either a new perspective, different perspective that you can actually be able to glean from and take and use in such a way that hopefully will help you not only profit from a personal relationship, business relationship, but then even in terms of your domaining experience. And so with that in, we will draw close to this interview, and I look forward to you all listening to the next podcast. And so in the meantime, please visit kickstartcommerce.com.